If you're a believer, enjoy God. Enjoy Him. He loves you so much. Forget morality. I said it. Forget morality. It's not about morality anyways. It's about a relationship with Christ. That's what saves you. Morality doesn't. You can never be good enough to get to heaven anyways. And the thing is that God gives you the Holy Spirit, which if you're a believer, exists within you. And He changes your heart. And it's natural you become, well, I don't want those things anymore. I want to call upon God. Let's call upon Him, huh? Pick that phone up. Pick that phone up. Are you guys going to pick that phone up? You better pick that phone up. I'm going to ask you to next week. I'm like, did you pick the phone up? You better have. Man, dial in God. Delete that number of sin. He will deliver you.
Welcome to Laborers Christian Radio. Glenn Valerkam here with Pastor Mario Zabella.
What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Good. What was the message on tonight?
The message was from Psalm 50:15, and just about calling upon the name of the Lord in times of trouble and the amazing promise that He will deliver us from such trouble.
Mm-hmm. I just want to let you guys know that we did baptisms tonight.
Yes, we did.
How many people got baptized?
Man, the Lord's grace just was poured out, and the glory grenades were thrown into the crowd. Some people got hit with the glory grenades, man, souls got saved, brother.
Yeah, wow. Definitely. It was incredible. There was a total of 6 people that got baptized.
That is crazy.
That's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. All we're doing is stepping out in faith, doing what we're supposed to do, and the Lord delivers.
And that's like one of the most amazing things is just watching God's power be on display, and not have to do with like about us, because like everything that just went wrong tonight.
You know, lots of technical difficulties.
Lots of technical difficulties. Yeah. But yet, you know, the Lord is way more powerful than technical difficulties.
Amen. It's not dependent upon us to see the Spirit move.
Praise God.
That's right.
Because that would be a bad thing.
That's right. So it was a break from our normal Ephesians message. And it was evangelism message. So I just hope that you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, let's have a good time. Okay. Let's have a great time.
God bless, guys.
It's about communication. But it's communication with the sovereign God, right? The one true God, the God of Israel. And I'm so looking forward to diving into this part of Scripture because, you know, we live in desperate times, right? We live in times of pain, and we live in times of suffering. And now more than ever, we need to know who we are to call on. That we are to call upon God first and foremost in our lives. And that's what tonight's going to be about. It's about communication. We know what it's like to communicate with others, but there's many times when I know some of you have perfect communication with God, we fall short of that. So let us pray before we start. Sound good? All right, praise God. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for your word, the blessing and the grace to be able to speak your holy oracles, Lord. I pray that during this time that you just you empty me out, Lord, and that you glorify yourself, Lord, that I exalt your name on high, Lord, that I place it in this room in such a high level that we all must worship it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you speak to everyone that's in this room, Lord. I pray that you comfort them, Lord. You know what each one is going through. And speak to me as well, Father. I pray for just mercy and grace and peace to breathe on us right now, Lord. Lord, stir up our hearts, stir up our affections, stir up just everything, just to have a complete and aching desire for you and you alone, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So let us just read it. Sound good? All right. So Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So rad. I know, right? Let's read it again. Right? I like it. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And you're like, wow, so you're going to do a message off of this? I'm like, yeah. Because there's a lot there. There's a whole lot there. And so quick, you know, on our personal reading time, we don't really contemplate, like, what is actually being said. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And the first thing that we notice is it says, call upon me, right? And us knowing that it's a big capital M, that must be God. And it is, but here's the thing, right? We have the telephone here, and our natural, we have this thing, it's called flesh. It's our nature. It's the fallen part of man, which you know, enjoys sin. And so quickly, this me in here, we substitute for sin. We substitute sin in there. It's like, call upon sin in the day of trouble, right? That we dial 1-800-SIN, right? I know, right? The hotline, the sin hotline. And it's a crazy thought that's what we do, right? That we look to be delivered by things that cannot deliver us. We call on sin, hoping that the pain would be removed, right? You know, anything like, I hope this one last drink will remove the pain that I feel. I hope this one last smoke will remove the pain that I feel. I hope this one last promiscuous partner will actually remove the pain that I feel. I hope this one last pill will remove the pain that I feel. I hope that this sin will remove the pain that I feel. And that's who we call on, right? It was obviously extremely relevant when I was a non-believer, but it still can happen today. It doesn't matter if we're a believer or not. And is that so quickly, when we should be resting on God and calling on God to deliver us from pain, hurts, troubles, and all of those things, it's so much easier to lean on the flesh. Because it's almost like an instantaneous gratification, right? For that moment that we call on sin, the sad thing is that it does satisfy temporarily, but in all reality, it destroys. And we could be saying, but you know, Mario, you don't really understand. You know, I'm hurting. I'm experiencing pain, whether it's emotional, loss of a loved one, a broken heart, anything. I'm experiencing pain. The enemy is out to get me. That my friends have turned their back on me. I am now alone. Mario, I'm hurting. And this is honestly like easier. And this is the thing that I want to tell you is like, I understand. But here's the thing. Christ loves you so much more than that. And he is so much more gratifying than that sin could ever be to you. Did you hear that? Like, it doesn't compare. Like John Piper said, we should look at sin as a loss of pleasure because it brings us to destruction, right? If the wages of sin are death, that sounds pretty bad, agreed? Right. But Christ is so satisfying because he does not leave you broken, bruised, hurt, and in tears. The only tears you have are the tears of joy because Almighty God loves you a lot. It says in Ephesians that you can't even comprehend his love, that it's actually four-dimensional. And I'm a math guy, I degree in chemistry, so it's like four-dimensional doesn't exist, you know what I mean? So that, but Christ's love is in the 4D. Check that out, right? Go ahead, read it, you know what I mean? I mean, I know, it's Ephesians 3. But I mean, think about it. There's nothing more satisfying than being loved by somebody. Agreed. Like you used to be like, no. Like, no. Yes. There's nothing more satisfying than being loved by somebody. And we find satisfaction when we're loved by somebody, you know, that's on this earth, right? Like, it feels good to know, like, my mom loves me, my family loves me, you know, things of that nature. You know, your wife loves you, husband loves you, boyfriend loves you, girlfriend loves you. You find joy in it. Okay, just let everyone know that they're sinners and they can never love you perfectly, but Christ does. That means that all your satisfaction, all your joy is to be derived directly from Him. That there's nothing better than calling on the name of the Lord, because that is where true satisfaction lies. It does not lie in sin. That sin will leave you broken and it'll leave you hurting. And, you know, thank God for grace that you're forgiven on those times that you're like, hello, sin? No, God's like, man, I wish you would have called me. And it's true, right? We need to realize that calling on sin is, it's like if I gave a cancer pill to somebody who had cancer, and then I said, hey, check, you know, and it increased their cancer, the cells, and I said, hey, like, this is going to make you temporarily better, or at least feel better, but in the end, it's going to destroy you. It doesn't make sense, right? It just terribly doesn't make sense to call on sin at all. Do we agree? Man, I just want to delete that number from my book, you know what I mean? Take it off my, you know, take it out of my, you know, no calling sin anymore, right? Oh, man, So then why do we find ourselves so easily ensnared by calling sin? Because when we call on God, it requires humility, right? It's humbling ourselves under the Almighty Creator and saying that we can't handle this trouble. There's nothing I can do, Lord, in this time, but I need you. When you don't have to humble yourself for sin, right? You don't humble yourself underneath sin, right? Sin controls you, right? You go after it. When going to God and calling upon Him requires these things. Okay? So then we go on. So we realize we need to call upon who? God. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, and we go on. It says, in the day of trouble, you know, in John 16:33, let's turn there real quick. Does that sound good? Okay. Because what's kind of happened today is that the Christian life has been portrayed, John 16:33, the Christian life has been portrayed as one that is filled with happiness and joy, and no pain is associated, and there's no really trials, and we're actually all kind of escapists, right? We kind of, like, the reason that we believe in God is so we can escape from reality, but the truth is that we're promised trials and tribulations. And so in John 16:33, let's read it, right? He goes, these things, which is like a huge thing about God just helping us, protecting us, sending us the Holy Spirit, you know, the power of the Father, all of these great things in 14 to this point. I've spoken to you that you may have peace in the world. Peace. In the world you will have tribulation. It doesn't say you might have tribulation, right? You might have troubles. Jesus is saying you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Praise God, right? You know, Jesus is saying that you should be happy and excited that He overcame the world, and that though you're going through these trials and these tribulations and these heartaches and these pains, that no matter what, we should be of good cheer because Christ resurrected from the grave. Amen, man. It's such an amazing thing that happened that day. so amazing that you could be in the depths of Hades, just there on this earth, just feeling like everything is against you, everything has fallen apart, your life is crumbling around you. And if you're a Christian with your faith in Christ, you can still say, well, praise God that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, and this life is only temporary. It's actually fleeting, described as a vapor. And one day this time will mean nothing because I'll be in the presence of Almighty God. Worshiping forever where there is no more pain. So there is no more trial when you get up there. Amen, right? There is no more tribulation. There is no more hurt. Man, in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, there we barely get a taste of it here during worship when we read his word. But when we see him, we will be like him. We will experience so much glory in the presence of the throne, worshiping, praising him. It's going to be such an amazing thing. Let's turn back to Psalms 50. Right? So when we're in this day of trouble, remember that this was promised to you. That Jesus warned you that this will happen, that trials will come, that heartache, pain, tears are going to happen. Doesn't stop just because you're a Christian. If anything, there's more, right? And the crazy thing is, and this is so amazing, is in Romans 8:18, it says that the sufferings we experience today are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. That Paul says that it's not worthy to compare sufferings to the glory of God. It's not worthy. Like, he won't even discuss it. He's like, no, you can't compare all the sufferings of today as to the joy and the love that you will experience for eternity. You can't. Crazy, huh? You know, in Zephaniah 3:17, it says when God calls you into the kingdom, right, you come up, and one of the craziest things, and if you read Acts, that you know, Jesus Christ is going to stand for you and welcome you home with open arms. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is actually going to stand and say, man, I'm so stoked that you're here right now. And he's going to sing over you.
Amen.
Imagine how that voice sounds. Imagine the joy that you're going to experience knowing that God is singing over you. Because he's so happy that he saved you, that he then handcrafted you to be into his image, and then flexed his power by bringing you into heaven. Wow. Amen. All right, so here comes the good stuff. Ready? It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. So we've all recognized that there are times of trouble, correct? Now, the result of us calling upon God is that he will deliver you. That's the result. When you call upon him, he answers. I will deliver you. It's a breathtaking response to our call. Does he say might? No, man. We think that way sometimes, don't we? And the thing that's so interesting is sometimes we don't think that he can, right? We lack that faith that God can deliver us from the pains we experience today. I know. I've been there. There was a time when so much heartache was in my life and so much pain. That I would sit there and I would just cry and cry and call out to God and cry and call out to God. And I was like, when are you coming? And I would continue to cry and call out to God. And the thing during these times, right, because he will deliver you. The one thing that we need so much to remind ourselves in these situations, and if you're not going through it, well, it's coming, right? So let's listen, okay? Is we need to remember how powerful our God is. In those times of pain, in those times of heartache, in those times when it's, you know, because there was this time, right? And it's a very interesting time, and we all know it when Jesus walks on water, right? Okay, well, there was a, they were actually out there on the waves for a really long time, and the word usage is that they were, like, they thought they were going to die. The word usage is that they were straining for life while they were rowing out there on the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And imagine just sitting there and thinking you're going to die, and then all of a sudden, man, in the middle of the storm, right? Because sometimes we think Jesus walked on the super placid water, but no, like 6-foot waves are going, and you see just Jesus just going over the waves, and you're like, no way. A dude walking on water. You see my pastor, my preacher, man, he's walking on, my rabbi, he's walking on water right now. And so, but just know that Jesus is coming. You might be in the middle of a storm, and you might be in that middle of just trouble all over, all around you in your heart, but just know that he will deliver you and that he's actually walking on water and he's coming to get you. Man. What an amazing thing, right? So let's talk about, okay? So God is powerful enough. Like, it doesn't matter if I told you and I said, hey, like, let me help you, like, you know, fix your car, but I don't know how to fix cars. It really doesn't matter, right? Okay, so we must know that God can actually deliver us from things. Sounds good? Okay, so here we go. Let's talk about how powerful God is. You guys ready for this? Oh, dude, I love talking about how powerful God is. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's see how powerful our God is. All right. So our God, check this out. He actually can raise people from the dead. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? At a word, right? So Jesus is standing before Lazarus, his dear friend, standing before there. And something that's so amazing is that they come to Jesus while he's away from Lazarus when he died. And they're like, yo, Jesus, like, Lazarus is dead. We need to get there, like, right now. You need to, like, you know, heal him, bring him back to life. And he's like, no. It doesn't matter how long, and I'll still bring him back to life. You know what I mean? So he shows up like four or so days later. I don't exactly remember, but he shows up, you know, a lot longer than they thought. They thought he was going to come running because he loved Lazarus. But no, he just stands before the tomb, and he's like, Lazarus, come out. That's it. At the spoken word, a guy comes back from the grave. And that's it. That's how powerful our God is. Whether you're a believer or not, well, he's your God too. I'm sorry. That's right. He is, no matter what, he is your God, because there are no other gods like him. He's the only one. He's the only one in heaven. There's made up gods, okay? Little g's, okay? There's demons. There's idols, but trust me, we all have the same God. There's just some that choose to worship him now and others that don't. So our God is powerful, right? He can actually raise people from the dead. You know, the reason why everything exists in such an amazing order is because of God. It says everything consists in Christ. Everything is all in the place that it is because Christ is holding it together. That's pretty powerful. Would you agree? Yeah, I'd agree, right? He actually can overturn mountains. Yeah, read that. Job 9. Trip you out. He commands the sun to not shine, and he tells the stars where they're to stop. It's pretty powerful. He alone spreads out the heaven, and he can actually, we already talked about, he can walk on water. But this is one of the most amazing things and one of the most encouraging things is this, is that in Job 9:10, it says, he does great things past finding out, yes, wonders without number. without number. That we can never truly, we can't understand how many miracles God is doing on a daily basis. And one of these miracles is that God can actually deliver you in your day of trouble. And tonight, he can do that one more great thing, which is deliver you. And tomorrow, he can do that great thing, which is deliver you. Man, he will deliver you every day when you call upon him. But Mario, you know, I heard you saying that you'd sit there and you'd just be crying, right? And it didn't sound like you were really being delivered. And I'm like, no. But in the end, he did. That he was actually just shaping me, humbling me, making me rely on him more and more so I can glorify him more and more and set him on high in my life more and more. So believe me, the reason that you're still in the trouble, you're still in the trial, is because God has a plan for you in it. And he will do anything to bring you to your knees. Do we understand that? Because there's nothing more important to God than one, first you need to get saved. Second is he wants to be glorified in your life. The more we rely on him, the more he is glorified in our lives. Do we get that? The more we are satisfied in him, the more he is glorified in our lives, and he will let us go through trials, let us go through tribulations. Hold on, be careful. He will actually put you through trials, put you through tribulations, just so he can receive the glory. And you're like, well, that doesn't sound like a very loving God. Well, from that glory, others can see it and get saved. I want people going to heaven. What about you guys, right? I just want people more and more go to heaven. You know what I mean? I want more and more brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, Paul said he takes pleasure in his persecutions, infirmities, all the bad things that he goes through for the name of Christ, for Christ's sake, that he actually takes pleasure in. He enjoys it because it's all for the glory of God. And let's go on, right? And he says, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The reason, one of the reasons why God delivers you is that he loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't like to see you hurt. He doesn't like to see you in his pain. You're one of his beloved because you're in the beloved. But out of that, he wants you to glorify him. Let's make sense of this, right? So, let's say for an example, you're sitting at home, and all of a sudden something combusts in your kitchen, and your house starts to be lit on fire. Scary, right? It's possible. And for some reason, you actually can't get out of the house. You're stuck in a room when this all goes down. Dying. But then in busts the firemen, right? Who receives the glory? You are the fireman. Right, the fireman. And in the same way, that's why God wants to rescue you. God will receive the glory. But the problem is that we want to save ourselves. We want to be the one running through the fire, being like, I can handle this. When the fireman's on his way, we should just wait. And wait on this promise. God will deliver you. But Mario, I know people who are Christians that got cancer, or, you know, died in some tragic way, that doesn't sound like deliverance. It is. It is a big deliverance. Because he's delivering you to heaven, to himself. And that's a pretty huge deliverance. So yes, no matter what you go through, God will deliver you. Whether it's now on earth or when you get to heaven, you will be delivered. Amen. All right, so how do we give him the glory? That should be a pretty good idea, right? How do we give him the glory? The way we give him the glory, right, it should be a party wherever you go. That's right. The fact that you have been delivered, the fact that you have been delivered should actually provoke inside of you joy. That you should actually be like, are you serious? God saved me from hell? All right, man, this is every day. I'm like, I am excited to live today because Christ in me is alive. That's how you glorify God. Is that when he delivers you, you don't just like keep it yourself, like, yeah, God just delivered me. Don't ask me about it though, because I don't want to talk about these things. No, is that when you get delivered, when whatever you're going through, when you get delivered, you are to stand on a soapbox and you're to say, check it out, Jesus Christ is alive and he actually delivered me from this heartache and he can deliver you too. Check it out. Believe in him and be saved from an eternity away from him, which is condemnation in hell. Please, I beg of you, my God is still alive and I am living proof of it. That is what you're supposed to do, and you're not supposed to do it out of some type of religion, like I gotta go out and tell people about Jesus, or I gotta tell people I've been delivered. No, you go out wanting, desiring to glorify Almighty God, because there's so much joy in this truth right here, that when you call upon him, it's not that he might save you, it's that he will save you. And you can believe that, trust on that. God is immutable, perfect, and powerful. He's got you. Trust. Wait. Don't call on sin. Call on God. And give him the glory when he delivers you. Because he will. Just wait. Please. You know, be like the psalmist and say, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Sounds like a lot of joy. Sounds like he's glorifying God. It's a great thing. But let's get real. I know what it's like not to be lined up with Scripture, right? Scripture says we are to glorify God, we are to go sing his praises, we are to proclaim his marvelous works, and I know what it's like to be like, well, that's not me. And we got to be like the psalmist again. And say, restore me to the joy of your salvation. There's joy in being saved. There's a lot of it. God is a good God. He will deliver you. And I want nothing more than to glorify him. Because of his deliverance. Even if I'm still haven't been delivered, I want to glorify him because I know that he will deliver me. So then there's the last part, right? Interesting statement, the day of trouble. If you're a non-believer and you don't have your faith in Christ, And I'm going to say this out of love. Every day is the day of trouble. Every day is a day of trouble. But no, Mario, I live a good life. I live a happy life. You talk about joy. I enjoy my life. Here's the thing. The Bible says that you're actually at war with God. That his desire for you, because like I said, he's our God, right? Whether you're a believer or non-believer. Well, he's also our Lord, whether we submit to him or not. The difference is that the believer is no longer under rebellion, no longer rebelling against God, and the non-believer is. But I'm not rebelling against God. I'm not rebelling against God. Well, his will is that you are saved. So if you're going against his will, that's called rebellion. But Mario, I'm a good person. I'm sorry about that too. You're not. And that's a good thing. Why do I smile and why are some people kind of laughing? And it's a great thing that you're not a good person. Because good people don't get to heaven. People who recognize they're sinners do. Because if righteousness could actually come from the law, which is mean obeying the Ten Commandments, that means Christ died in vain. And Christ definitely didn't die in vain. You've broken one, you've broken them all. You've lied, you've hated, you've lusted. We've all done it. And you need somebody who has done and finished all the Ten Commandments, and that's Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing, right? Yeah, forgive it for God. What are you talking about? It is. Wow. You know, I was talking to a brother today, and you know, asking him like, "What does the cross? What happened on the cross?" You know, and he gave a good answer. But the normal teaching that isn't really taught normally in a general basis is that the fact that Jesus was crushed on the cross. And because of the fact that we actually have kind of commercialized the cross, in which people who don't believe wear, you know, crosses, is that actually a cross is like an electric chair. It's a little bit more real today, right? It's a place of execution. I mean, what Christ did is, let's give a good example, right? Let's say, okay, let's offend some people. Let's say you killed somebody. Everyone must pay for things they have done, whether you've, you know, stopped killing people or, you know, changed your life. You still hurt somebody. You still killed somebody, right? So you're sitting there and you're looking at the electric chair and you're like, okay, like, it's time. And what Christ did is he said, no, I'll take this one. Christ did that for you. We all must receive punishment for the things that we have done. Somebody must receive punishment for the things that we've done. Now Christ, for a believer, received the punishment for the things that I have done. And then he poured grace upon grace upon grace on my life. And I get to live a life that's actually free from sin. Not saying I don't sin, but it's the last thing that I want to do is sin. But I just want to seek God's face. And that's what Jesus did for you. So every day is a day of trouble for a non-believer. Because you're at war with God, because you're going against his will. But something so loving happened. Jesus took the electric chair for you. Washed you white as snow. Doesn't matter what you've done. I'm serious. Isn't that crazy? Does it matter what you've done? That's like one of the things that breaks me down all the time, and that broke me down at the moment of salvation, is that I was sitting there completely broken from the people I have hurt, and from the pain that I caused on myself, and from the fact that I was facing jail time, is that I was just sitting there, and Christ said, like, I don't care. I don't care what you've done. I love you. That was it. I was like, well, man, what else am I supposed to do but to respond? And that's what Christ does for you every day. Is he wants you to come to that point when you recognize that you cannot deliver yourself, but you need him to deliver you. Call upon him, and he will deliver you, and we will definitely glorify him. So both for, as we conclude, both for non-believers and believers, when trouble comes and presses into your ribs, when the trials increase and your ribs actually begin to crack, your heart will cry out in desperation, your breath is actually shortening, and your eyes are going black. Those times when it seems that the pressure is becoming too much, in that moment, call upon your Lord and Savior. Call upon him. And he will deliver you. Absolutely will deliver you. If he can breathe life into dead things, pretty sure whatever you're going through is not even close to that. If he can resurrect himself from the grave, I know that whatever you're going through is not compared to that. When the pressures come, call upon our Lord and Savior, man, and he will deliver you. Amen. Amen. How good is God? So good. Too good. He's so great. There's so much amazing, awesome, just miraculous things that happen when you're actually in the body of Christ. Enjoy that. If you're a believer, enjoy God. Enjoy him. He loves you so much. Forget morality. I said it. Sorry, I said it. Forget morality. It's not about morality anyways. It's about a relationship with Christ. That's what saves you. Morality doesn't. You can never be good enough to get to heaven anyways. And the thing is that God gives you the Holy Spirit, which if you're a believer, exists within you, and he changes your heart, and it's natural you become, well, I don't want those things anymore. I want to call upon God. Let's call upon him, huh? Pick that phone up. Pick that phone up. Are you guys going to pick that phone up? You better pick that phone up. I'm going to ask you to next week. I'm like, did you pick the phone up? You better have. Man, dial in God. Delete that number of sin. He will deliver you. There's so much joy within a loving, graceful, wow, God. Praise God. All right, man, let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your abundance of mercies that you give every day. Thank you for the grace that you provide, Lord, and the love that you showed on the cross. And the love that you show in delivering us. Whom we have in heaven but you, Lord. Lord, and make it true that we desire nothing on earth besides you. Lord, and though our heart and our flesh fail, may you be the portion and our strength of our hearts forever and ever. Amen.